Inside Security Podcast with Martin and Steve Yvette and Little Joe. News Yankee Steve giving weekly updates. Armor guy managing the microphones. Joseph's there and sparkles while the vet's in the airport. Andy Googles Microsoft on his iPhone. A family-friendly bucket full of southern goodness. What will they be ranting about this week?
It's episode 185. Yes, 185 of the Southern Fried Security Podcast. My name is Martin Fisher. Really glad that you're joining us this time around. I am joined in her secure, undisclosed location, hopefully still inside the perimeter, Yvette Johnson. Yvette, how are you?
I am well. How are you?
It's, you know, it's getting to be fall. The temperatures are in the low 90s, not in the upper 90s.
I know. I'm actually like, can wear jeans without burning up.
I know. It's not raining every day at 3:45 to mess up the commute. So, I'm gonna take the winds where I can find them.
Agreed.
So unfortunately, Andy and Steve both can't be with us. Andy, he has this thing about doing birthdays with his wife. I'm gonna have to talk to him about priorities. And then, Steve Reagan is chasing down a story and getting ready for DerbyCon, or at least that's his story, and he appears to be sticking with it very, very closely in email.
Yep. So tonight you just get Martin and I, which is I don't know if we've ever done just you and I.
I don't think so. I think this is going to be the first one. So yeah, this.
We're the only Southerners.
Andy would argue that point, but since he's not here to defend himself, we'll go with it. So, you know, that it's Q4, that wonderful time of the year where vendors show up from everywhere hoping you have some money left over to spend on their stuff.
Yeah, what's crazy is if you think about it, you start the year with your budget, right? Or you already asked for your budget. And you have usually been allocated, you know, your CapEx dollars, and you're thinking, yep, I'm going to buy this and I'm going to do this. And, now we're, you know, getting out of Q3 and going into Q4, and you're thinking, wait, did I spend all my money or what do I have left? And you start looking at your budget and you realize I've got money left. And if I don't spend this, I'm not going to get it again.
Right. It varies from company to company. I mean, some places, if you didn't spend it for that project, you lose it. Some places it's more allocated to a department or to a cost center. And for those of you where it's allocated to the project and you don't get to spend any underspend, I'm very sorry. You're probably going to be very sad by the end of this episode, but bear with us. Your next gig, this might be helpful. But for a lot of us, there's maybe some OPEX money, there's some CAPEX money that's still left. Or if you're in a really interesting organization, and this has happened to me a couple times, where maybe security, or if you're part of the IT organization, the IT org picks up money from another group from the next level up. So let's say that the CIO reports to the COO. Right, and the budget's aggregated there. There might be some money available. So the idea is there's a couple lessons and a couple ideas that we want to leave everybody with. And the first thing is, if you're a security leader, and you know there's that little talk in the hallway from someone saying, "Hey, we've got an extra $150K in the budget that you know we might have for a decent project. Any ideas?" If you don't already have an answer in your head, you've probably already lost your shot at the money. You need to have, for however projects break down in your organization, you know, the 50K, 100K, 150K, to whatever level, you need to have an idea of this. If you're offered that money, what would you spend it on?
And I mean, I would like to think that everybody already has a wish list put together, right? You put together a list and you go pie in the sky and you ask for as much money as you can. And you kind of star the things that you think you can do without. And you prioritize what you absolutely have to have for that year. So this is the time when you go back to that list of things that you thought maybe you could do without. And now here's some allocated money. You need to go back to that list and start, you know, pushing those up to the priority.
Right, because the last thing you want to do is let's say you're approaching and said, hey, we have $500,000 to spend. What's your idea? It needs to be something, preferably, that you've already been talking about a little bit, that it's an understood need in your group that maybe wasn't as high enough a priority to actually get fully funded, but it's not a surprise. Because here's the thing. When a CFO org hears for the first time that, hey, there's some money left over and the security team wants to spend it on, you know, real threaty analysis stuff that they've never heard of before, they know you're trying to boondoggle them.
Oh, right? Agreed. And it should, like you said, this shouldn't be the first time you're mentioning this to somebody. It should have already been put on a list. And like I said, you pushed it to the back burner for now, and you put your sad face on and say, fine, I can do without this for now, but I'd like to revisit this later. This is when you revisit it. And like
it's
you said, don't
like
make it a surprise.
It's almost like you've said this before to people, Yvette.
Yeah. Yeah, power.
So now there's one possible exception to that piece of advice. And that is, let's say that stuff in information security evolves very quickly, and there's stuff that's around now that maybe wasn't an issue or simply wasn't available 12 months ago, but it maps into what you're trying to accomplish. This can be a somewhat harder sell, but if you can say, hey, look, I need product X or service Y, because as you know, we've been trying to develop this business capability or this security capability, and this is new stuff and it would go a long way to helping us, you might be able to sell that. But you just can't pull stuff out of thin air and say, you know, I'd like for me and my staff to go to B-Sides Barbados. Yeah. B-Sides.
That's just, you can't?
Yeah. It's probably not going to work. So with that, then you just start thinking about, you know, what do you want to pitch? And a lot of these things are going to vary from company to company and corporate culture to corporate culture. But you can kind of break this down into a couple of different buckets. You can buy stuff, you can buy services, or you can invest in your people. And which one makes the most sense for you is really going to be determined by where you are. You know, if there is that shiny, blinky box that you just desperately have, that might be the ask. If there's, you know, some consulting services, and I've done this in the past with year-end money, where, you know, there's that little project that you just don't have the staff to do, but if you could bring in somebody for 45 days, they could knock it out. That might be something to pitch. But, you know, that you and I were talking before we started recording about, you know, hey, one of the fantastic things to do with year-end money is to get people some training and invest in your folks.
Well, and if you think about it, that's usually the first thing that goes. You know, and depending on the maturity of your organization, you know, if you have the right people in place and they're doing the day-to-day, they're doing a lot of on-the-job training and they're doing some training on their own or, you know, doing LMS or whatever. But realistically, who likes to do, you know, LMS? Nobody does. And you're not going to get really what you need out of it. So do you take this budget? And do you tell your key people who've probably been begging for training, hey, guess what? Christmas is coming early. It's coming early in Q4.
Right.
And we're going to send you to this training. And maybe it's a tool training. Maybe it's a, you know, a conference where they're going to do some hands-on. And maybe there's some training at that conference that they can get involved in. You know, that actually buys you a lot with people. You know, I've been in organizations where training was a luxury and we just didn't get to have it. Now I'm at an org where I have a budget to go to training every single year and I get to use it however I want. If I want to go to conferences, if I want to take a formal class, it's an amazing feeling and it actually buys a lot of loyalty from your people. And they're going to turn right back around and invest that into their job and they're going to do it better and smarter.
Absolutely. And that's one of the key things. I mean, we always talk about how hard it is to hire new talent. If you've got that rock star in your team, getting them some training, sending her off to a conference is a great way of demonstrating them the value you put in them And like Yvette was saying, you have a better chance of retaining them. It is much cheaper to retain an awesome employee than to lose one and then try to find and hire a new one. Believe me, I know of which I speak here. Hiring has not been a lot of fun for the last several years in InfoSec, no matter who you are.
Well, and it also, you know, if it'll attract some new talent, right? If they see that you are spending your people who are considering or looking to come to your company, if they see that you're spending the money on your current employees to go to training or do some development work around them. And maybe it's soft skills. Maybe they don't want to go learn the new hotness tool. Maybe they want to learn how to speak in front of a crowd. You know, it just depends on the person. But if people see that that you're investing, that attracts them to your organization as well.
Right. Because let's face it, no matter what city you're in, the information security community is a small one, and companies gain reputations. You know, here in the Atlanta area, there are places that are known as great places to work, and there are places that are known as, I wouldn't say hell on earth, but, you know, maybe that's close. And people who are the ones you want to hire, those rock stars who have the skill set and the abilities you're looking for, especially in this market, can make choices about where they go. And if you have a great reputation as a place that takes care of people, this is going to be a lot easier for you. And using some of that year-end money demonstrates to your folks that when there's an opportunity to do something to build the team, you're willing to do it. That just pays huge dividends over the long run.
So let's go back to talking about vendors. So what if you decide, gosh, you know, I've got this great tool, but maybe I'm not on the current version, or maybe they've got something new that we can plug into it that I'd love to see or love to implement. You know, how do you manage that?
Well, hopefully the vendor you're dealing with is on a quarter system that ties with your year end. Even better is if their year end ties with your year end, because at that point you have some significant bargaining power. If you can tell them, look, I've got access to, you know, enough money to buy this, but I need a really good deal. You're going to throw the implementation services in, you know, and really push them for the best deal you can get. Most of your sales folks, most of the sales weasels have the ability, in order to make their numbers or for the company to make its numbers, have the ability to discount stuff frighteningly well. At this time of year. And this is the time to start having that conversation, you know, even if you're not sure if you're going to have money, but if there's a vendor out there that you've been wanting to talk to and that you're trying to see what kind of deal you can get, don't lie and say you've got the budget if you don't, but say, hey, look, I'm looking for this budget. You know, work with me here. I know you said that the budgetary estimate 6 months ago was 400K, but if I can get 320, what can you do for me? And it's going to be amazing how many of the sales weasels will step up and get amazingly creative at the end of the year if they think they can close a sale, you know, before a date certain, you know, by the end of the quarter or by the end of the year, they can get those markdowns for you.
Well, they'd rather you spend 320 than zero, right? Because even though if you do have that 400K to spend, I mean, they only anticipate they had you on the books for 100 that year, and that's where they were forecasting. If they can come back to their boss and say, hey, guess what? Yvette has another 300K to spend, but she really, you know, and maybe I have 400, but I'm telling them I only have 300. That does nothing but make them look good. Like, gosh, you know, they put in that Q4 push and they were projecting just 100K out of Yvette's organization, but now she's going to spend an additional 300. They're going to look like a rock star. So of course they're going to work with you on that price or what they deliver or throw in, you know, professional services.
Absolutely. That's really the key is being willing to, as much as you're able to, be flexible, be creative, and really throw it back on the vendor to determine what they can do. Now, of course, depending on the vertical you're in, or if you're in a .gov, .mil, you may not have some of this flexibility that exists out there in the dot-com world. And for that, I apologize, but them's the breaks.
Well, and spend your money. if you're given, you know, essentially free money that you didn't know about, go spend it. Do the right thing with it, because you may lose it, and then you're going to really be crying the blues the next year when you don't have it.
So I'm going to throw one counterintuitive idea out there. I bet you got to promise not to throw rocks at me.
Fair.
There is an argument, and I've done this a couple times where, let's say you're approached with, hey, we have $200,000 to spend. Do you want to do something with it? And let's say that you're trying to build a relationship with another group, and you know that this other manager could use that $200K to do something that actually would help move the security needle for you. Let's say that you're talking to the guys who take care of endpoints, and the manager there, she wants to do an upgrade to the management system for that. That's going to move the needle for you. And if you go, hey, I want to go to bat for her, you're going to move your security needle, and you will now have a new best friend. You will have cemented an internal relationship that, as security people, we need relationships across the entire organization. And if you're willing to demonstrate that you're willing to go to bat for them and help get them the funding they need for their project, you know, 6 months later, when you go and say, look, I know this is out of cycle, but I need you to do this on the endpoints. Can you help me out? You're going to get a fair hearing and get a response from them, which isn't, dang it, it's the security guy asking for stuff again.
Yeah. And I've actually, that's not the first time I've heard about that. And I've seen it work well in organizations, or I've seen another organization say, I need one more FTE to support all of these Windows boxes that you need put in for security. And if you can give them some money to hire a FTE, then the minute you need all that patching done or you get those vulnerability reports, they're going to hop to it because you gave them money to hire an additional resource. And so there's no more kicking and screaming about, oh, we can't patch in 30 days or whatever they're going to say. They're much more likely to work with you and make you look good and get security done at the same time, because maybe it's not their primary job, but they're going to support you and get what you need.
Absolutely. So end of the day, what it boils down to is if you have access to some additional budget money at the end of the year, figure out what's going to be the most effective thing to do with it. If it's on your team, if it's, you know, buying, you know, some new shiny, if it's, you know, getting some consulting help, or if it's investing in your people, or if it's helping out someone else in the org achieve their goals, because them achieving their goal helps you achieve yours. You really can't go wrong on this one. But again, the keys are, have an idea starting tomorrow. If I was approached and said, hey, we've got 200K or 400K or whatever the number is, have some ideas that you could immediately, without even a pause, say, well, you know, I might do this, I might do that. Or, you know, the endpoint manager, she could really use that help, and be able to answer the question immediately. Because the people who hem and haw or say, hey, let me get back to you with some analysis, they're not going to get the money.
Well, and your money's going to go somewhere else. Yeah, be prepared and spend.
As you can tell, Yvette has come out of the consulting world. Where
exactly.
Encouraging people
to
spend.
I was happy when I was in the consulting world and they were willing to spend it on us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Yvette, I think we've sort of quickly beaten that topic to death. Real quickly, DerbyCon's coming up. All of our listeners who are going there, I hope you have a fantastic time. Please say hello to Steve Reagan. And since he probably will not be listening to this before he gets there, what he really, really enjoys, everyone, is for you to walk up and just rub him on top of his head and say, who's a good boy? Who's a good boy? He loves that. So good luck. Yvette, any final words for our audience before we shut down for the evening?
Spend.
And with those words of advice, I've been Martin Fisher. That's Yvette Johnson. We're so glad you were with us here on the Southern Fried Security Podcast. you will be able to get to this podcast website at www.southernfriedsecurity.com. The Twitter feed is at SFSpodcast. And we'll talk to you again real soon.
Good night.